children make their way out for Children's Church, I invite you to take your scriptures this morning and open them to the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, and join me at chapter 37. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to speak to everyone on Mother's Day, and especially to remember moms and ladies on Mother's Day. It's always a little bit of a challenge, and often we go to some of the good examples in the Bible of mothers, and there are many. And then when we kind of run out of them, we look at the bad mothers of the Bible, and there are a few of those, which is not always the most encouraging on Mother's Day. Anyway, what we're here this morning, we're going to look at Genesis 37 through 50 on a brief survey and look at some sound advice for every son and daughter. Some sound advice that applies to all of us that if we would put into practice would be pleasing to our mothers, our physical mothers, our spiritual mothers, and especially to the God of the universe. Would you join me in just a moment, for just a moment in prayer as we come to God's Word? Father, we have enjoyed some fellowship and some fun with one another. We have sung, interacted a bit with your eternal truths, and now we come to Scripture. And the Word of God is extremely practical and meets each and every one of us who are here this morning with where we're at in life. There is some encouragement for us to find this morning. There are also some directions and motivations for us. We pray for your Spirit's working unrestricted in each of our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two little boys were having a conversation with one another during their school lunch period. We're going to drop in on their conversation for a moment and listen in on what they have to say. And first words we hear from one of the boys is, "I'm really worried. My dad slaves away at his job so I can have anything I want. And then he puts overtime in with the idea that I can go to any college that I want to go to someday. And then there's my mother. My mother, she washes my dirty clothes after she picks them up. She picks up my messes. She nurses me back to health when I have accidents, which are many. She even drives me to all my soccer practice. I am so worried about my father and my mother." Well, his friend asked, "With parents like that, what do you have to be worried about?" "Well, I'm afraid they might try and escape." Have you ever wanted to escape? Have you ever wanted to run away from the life zoo? You're not alone. We can all identify. There are moments in life we just want to run away. For every family member, there are moments when the tug to walk out and to walk away from responsibility is attractive. And if we're honest, for every follower of Jesus Christ, we understand who Christ is, what he did on the cross, paid our sins. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. He invites us into an eternal relationship with him. For every follower of Christ, there are moments when the tug to walk away, when the tug to walk out is attractive. When God gives us a responsibility, there is never an opt-out option. It is always an opt-in responsibility, an opt-in obligation. Life is not about escaping responsibilities, but embracing responsibilities. The foundation for everything in life, in our life, in how we live life, is who God is. As you study who God is, as we look at the scriptures and look for his definition, his explanation, we find that God is responsible. He is faithful and he is unchanging. That's why it's possible for us to have an eternal relationship with God. He doesn't change the rules. He doesn't change the boundary markers and adjust the bar so that we never know what we're supposed to do or never know what it takes to have peace with God. God is faithful. He's faithful in the salvation process. He is faithful in every detail of our life. He's responsible. So as we come into the scriptures this morning, as we look at this particular passage, we are looking at especially what is our response to God's response, to God's responsibility in our life. Responsibility is fundamental in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is to our benefit and blessing to embrace all the responsibilities that God has placed out there for us. Let's look at some of those in the life of Joseph as he demonstrates a life that any mother would be proud of, a life that God would be proud of. Sound advice. Number one, responsibility number one. We embrace the lessons of suffering. Suffering, isn't that a happy topic on Mother's Day? Well, our mothers suffered. They probably suffered a lot as they raised us. So they tell me. We embrace the lessons of suffering. The hard knocks of life build character and strengthen confidence in every person who opts in to follow Jesus Christ. Look with me at Genesis 37, verse 18. Life is sometimes difficult. It is hard. Verse 18, when Joseph's brothers saw him from a distance before he got close to them, they plotted to put him to death. Then we drop in over at verse 28. They essentially say, what does it profit us to kill our brother? Let's sell him. So they sold him to a band of Ishmaelites walking by, and those men brought Joseph to Egypt. Hard start for a young man. The hard knocks of life can build character and strengthen our confidence in God as we opt in and follow him regardless of the circumstances we face ourselves. Sometimes we put ourselves in circumstances, sometimes life and other people. Joseph, we might say, was in a toxic family, a classic dysfunctional family. But the life of Joseph, framed within the faithfulness of God, provides a model for us today as we anticipate the week ahead. Here we have an abandoned and abused young man in a hostile and heathen environment. We might say if anybody had an excuse to do what they wanted to do, to cut the corners, to just throw caution to the wind and restrictions to the wind, we might say Joseph was a leading candidate here because of the environment that he was placed in. But what's his response? As we see throughout the chapters to come, his response is to opt into his responsibility before a holy God, and it spills out into his responsibility to everyone else on the planet. He reminds us that our environment, our experiences, our education are never an excuse to cave in to God's responsibilities, to God's desire for our life. We have no excuse on taking shortcuts and changing the desires that God has for us. Our environment taints us. Our experiences taint us or touch us. But they do not restrict us beyond God's best for our life. Life is hard at times, but God is always good. Life is not always fair. Life is unjust at times, but God is always sovereign. He's always in control. And when facing difficult circumstances, remember that God has not abandoned you. Joseph's father, his family, all the familiar surroundings are missing in his life. It's on him. His character will be demonstrated. on his own. And in spite of missing all that supporting cast in his life, in a sense, Joseph is never alone. He has a companion who is even closer than family in the good days and friends in the good days. It reminds us that when life hurts, we run home to God and we jump into his loving arms. Embrace the lessons of suffering, the hard knocks of life. Further build our character and strengthen our confidence in the God of the universe, the God of history, the Lord of our life. Let's drop into chapter 39 and look at responsibility number 2. We not only embrace the lessons of suffering, we embrace the lessons of, well, let's just say, there's all kinds of dirty words in the world, all kinds of four-letter words. And I thought about asking you to think about those, but then I don't want to ask you to have to confess in the next minute or so, right? You know, the word that comes to my mind is the one that I might have used, you know. There's a four-letter dirty word that is a part of all our lives. And here's how we spell it. I wrote it down so I didn't mess it up. W-O-R-K. Isn't that a dirty word? It's a four-letter word, right? We embrace the lessons of sweat. Work is a sacred calling. It's not just a job. It's a calling, not a curse. Kind of blows or challenges our thinking a little bit. Adam and Eve in the perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, before they sinned, before they rebelled against God, they were given responsibility. In the garden, somehow it involved W-O-R-K, and it was G-O-O-D. Work is a sacred calling, not just a job, not just a curse. And as we look at Joseph's life, and we're doing the jet tour of his life this morning, because we looked in detail at this a couple of years ago, we see that Joseph worked well in all the environments that he found himself. Whether he was with Potiphar, whether he was in the prison, whether he was in the palace, he had the reputation that was earned that he worked well. Look at verse 39, verse 4 with me. Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight, became his personal assistant. Verse 21. Different scenario, different circumstances, different overseer, boss. But the Lord was with Joseph, extended kindness to him, and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Regardless of promotion or demotion, location or vocation, here is a man who opts in to his responsibilities, to his work ethic responsibilities. And it just reminds us, it doesn't matter who we are working for when we realize whom we truly are working for. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Wherever you are, doing whatever you are doing, do it all to the glory of God. Pizza Hut may give you a paycheck, but ultimately, my boss, my master, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am always accountable to him. When the job is tedious, when the job is monotonous, when the job is boring, remember, we work for an audience of one. We work to hear those wonderful words at the end of our life, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that just kind of lifts it up. There are all kinds of people we will work for in life, and we could rank them, and many of them will quickly go to the bottom of the list. But remember who's at the top of the list. ultimately, we work for God. And so we're called to do the best, to the best of our ability, for God's glory. Sound advice: embrace the lessons of suffering. Sound advice: embrace the lessons of sweat. Number three, responsibility number three, Joseph demonstrates for us some further sound advice for every son, for every daughter here today. Embrace the lessons of stewardship. Chapter 39, verse 6. So Potiphar left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. With him, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Over in verse 22, different scene, different circumstances. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, Joseph was responsible for. Not to be lost, Potiphar was putting his money on the line, all his goods on the line. The guy in charge of the king's prisoners was, in a sense, putting his life on the line. The prisoners act up, those in confinement there, and it was a unique situation. They ran away. He would be responsible for them. Tremendous trust in multiple circumstances in Joseph's life. He reminds us to embrace the lessons of stewardship, responsibility, accountability. And we are reminded from Scripture that ultimately God owns everything and entrusts us with much. We're not responsible for everyone. We're not responsible, accountable for everything. Just much. Your much may look a little different than my much, but we are all entrusted with much. The much God gives us. Joseph repeatedly, continually has things left in his charge. Why? Because he has a track record of being a good steward, of being accountable, reliable, faithful. And much is given to each and every one of us. At the very least, or foundational, is the fact that we have breath, that we have life. When we come to understand that we have life because God gave us life in the conception process, it gives every one of us dignity and also a point. We each have a point and a purpose on the planet, in God's history, in this universe. Again, the details of your point and purpose, slightly different than mine. Different from everybody else in the planet. Every one of us has a uniqueness in our life, and it's God-given. And with that uniqueness comes responsibility. It also comes with it accountability and opportunity. We have a point and purpose on this planet, and it will only make sense as we are close to Jesus. And it will only make sense as we're energized by His Spirit. When opportunity knocks, when God opens the door, return God's favor to Him. And we return God's favor to Him as an act of worship. So when He gives us responsibility, we're called to be faithful. We're called to be active in that. And that is an act of worship as much as singing, as much as giving, as much as opening the Word of God. When we're not active for God, we are robbing God. We're also cheating the family of God, the church. So it calls us, when opportunity knocks, and it repeatedly knocks in our life, return God's favor back to Him as an act of worship. Now, I walked in to the house a couple weeks ago, and Kim was watching TV. And I walked into the room, and she was watching the NFL draft. I got a good one, didn't I? Why are you watching the draft that I taped? And like she's kind of crying. Like, this is unique. My wife is watching the draft, and I was just going to fast forward through it for a couple highlights. And she's watching the draft, and there's some tears in her eyes and all this. Well, you know, they were giving these inspirational stories. And here was this one guy, and he sounded like a country western song. You know, his dog ran away, his house burnt down, living on the street. And it really was. I mean, if I played it up here, you'd all be reaching for the Kleenex. Really tough background, tough environment, tough experiences in life for him and his family. And he's just been drafted very high up, and he has gone from poverty to set for life, probably in just a second. And that's obviously a huge moment in his life. He's excited, and he's sharing that excitement with everyone. And he made this statement that just jumped out at me. He goes, "My life proves that everyone can be whatever they want to be." And I was going to ask you, can we be whatever we want to be? We'll probably hear that at commencement speeches, quoting Dr. Seuss in a couple weeks, right? Can I be anything I want to be? You know, I want to play in the NFL and be an interior lineman like that guy. Okay, that guy, they say he was 300 pounds, he's about 6'5". Okay, put your money in that guy. I can want to be that all my life, but I didn't get that, did I? And I might want to, but it's not realistic. You know, we really cannot be anything we want. But that's not the goal in life. What we can be is everything God ordained us to be. And that is so much better. Sometimes we're down there on the field enjoying it from that young man's perspective, and sometimes we're in the stands enjoying his experience, still enjoying it. But God has wired us all differently. The details are all different. But I can be, and you can be, and we must strive to be everything God ordained us to be. So that becomes my marching order. What does God want me to be? And there's all these responsibilities are what he's called all of us to do. So we use that as the skeleton and the key muscles in our life. But then as it fleshes out a little unique in each of our lives, we just keep going through those doors. When opportunity knocks, be a good steward. Be a steward of the life that God has given you. Develop it as much as you can. And that makes the difference between that young man, 6'5 and 300 pounds, and other young men, 6'5 and 300 pounds. The ones who succeed on the field are the ones who develop their skills the farthest, right? Develop the skills, the abilities that God has given you for his glory. That brings us to responsibility number four, the last one we're going to see this morning in Joseph's life. Being a good steward. Understanding the place of sweat, the place of suffering in our life. Let's look at strong and stronger people connections. Chapter 39, verse 6. We embrace strong and stronger people connections. Never forget that God is high and holy. His word defines what is right, what is wrong, what is essential in every relationship. Life is full of relationships. We're not designed to go through life alone. We're not designed to go through our spiritual life alone. That's why he gives us all a body of believers to strengthen and encourage and help us. Chapter 39, verse 6. Let's look at some of the relationships that Joseph encountered. This one, if you're familiar with the story at all, jumps out at first. So Potiphar left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. The house, the dog, the car, the swimming pool. Somewhere in there, there's a wife. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. We guys, we understand that one, right? It came about that after these events that Potiphar's wife, the master of Joseph, looked with Joseph with desire. And she said, "Lie with me." Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Put all that he owns in my charge. No one is greater in his house, this house, than I. He's withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this evil, this great evil, and sin against who? God, Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, and Joseph himself." But he starts off with, "How can I sin against God?" Joseph's life screams and spotlights relationships. And we might also even say relationship integrity. But in Joseph's life, again and again and again, relationship responsibility. His responses are a legacy that every son and daughter should aspire to and perspire towards. Here we have a relationship with Potiphar, but also Potiphar's wife. This is a toxic relationship. The lady had her intentions personal for her, but poisonous for Joseph. And Joseph's response is an example for all of us. He said the right things, and he ran in the right direction. There was a conversation. This was evidently an ongoing issue for a while. He said the right things. There was a time for the conversation to end and Joseph to exit. It reminds me, say the right things. And starting off with, how can I sin against God? There comes a point where we decide what direction we're going to run. We're going to run to a high and holy God or away from a high and holy God. In relationships, Joseph respected other people, starting with his boss and the relationships there. Then we move into, and we've been in prison with Joseph a few minutes ago in confinement. We find that Joseph is unjustly confined. He didn't do anything wrong, and now he's suffering. What was Joseph's response as he interacted with some of the other fellow prisoners? Well, we see twice. He interacted with them. He encouraged them. I imagine there were days where Joseph said, "What is going on? I don't deserve this. Why am I here?" Why was he there? Part of it was to encourage the other people who were there. And sometimes in our life, we don't understand why we are there, what's going on. And I just encourage you, as you wait for clarity in your circumstances, stay active and look for other people that you can represent God to. Joseph encouraged others. Then there came his brothers. You're familiar with the story. You know what happened. We drop into chapter 50 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 21. There's been a reconnect in the relationships with the family. They are all back in Egypt now. Joseph's father, Jacob, all his brothers, and Joseph's dad, all their dad, dad to all of them, he dies. And the concern is, now that dad's out of the picture, what can we expect from Joseph? Retaliation? Just waiting for the opportunity? Chapter 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full?" Now, we just stop right there. What do you pick up from those statements? that attitude, pays us back in full. They are taking a bit of responsibility there for all the wrong which we have done him. We won't take time for all the details there. They come, verse 18, fall before him. There's confession, some repentance. Verse 20, Joseph's response, given the opportunity to retaliate or bring reconciliation, further reconciliation. As for you, you meant evil against me. Honesty is part of this relationship. Not recalibrating the facts. The facts are the facts. They had done wrong. Motivated by evil. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about where we're at now and what's going to happen in the future, preserving our family, preserving the nation of Israel. We see in the relationship between Joseph and his brothers, he supported them, goes on to support them further, and forgives them. It just reminds, and then if you look at the relationship with Joseph and his father and mother, not a whole lot is said, but we always get the sense with the data that's given to us that Joseph honored and respected his parents. No negative details given there. Just reminds us that every relationship we are in includes a holy God in the mix. Every relationship carries with it the opportunity to opt in and strengthen and develop and encourage and support one another or opt out. Every relationship thrives or dies in the life, in the lab of life, due to our choices and our corrections. And here we are on Mother's Day. Many will spend time with their mothers. For some of us with our mothers gone or we're away from family, we'll spend time with other people. And it's the opportunity to strengthen relationships or move them farther apart. Every relationship thrives and dies. Either one of those, due to our choices and our corrections. And we can't change anybody else, but we are responsible for ourselves. And as much as it is in us, as much as it is possible, live at peace with all men. Every one of us has a relationship that can be strengthened. Every one of us has a hurt that can be mended. Every one of us has relationships where some reconnection would honor God. And every one of us likely has some kind of relationship where a disconnect is the most appropriate, the most God-honoring option. Life is messy. God is good. Trust God's desires and stick to God's directions. We all have moments. There are moments when the tug to walk out and walk away from responsibility is attractive. We're not alone. And that's the truth to take with us this morning. We are not alone. In just before the turn of the new millennium, a major earthquake flattened a town in Armenia. In just 4 minutes, 30,000 people stepped from this life into eternity. As all this devastation was taking place, a mother and a father were at home, and their son was in a school on the other side of town. And all this chaos is going on, and the father runs over to the school to see what is the condition of his son. Greatly concerned, and the school building is flattened, just a pile of rubble. And there are no children outside. The children are all inside. As the father is surveying the situation and trying to come to grips with what is going on and figuring out what to do next, he remembers the words that he said to his son continually through their life. No matter what, I will always be there for you. no matter what, I'll always be there for you. And with that as his motivation, he begins to dig, looking for a son, while everybody else is standing off to the side in shock and fear and tears. And everyone says, stop what you're doing. It's not safe. Get out of there. There is no hope. But he continues to dig. He continues to dig, motivated by the words, no matter what, I will always be there for you, son. 38 hours later, still no word, still no answers. He continues to dig. Fast forward to the end of a long story. He discovers his son. They are all in a pocket there. There were a number that died, but there are about 30 students there. And the son called out to him, I'm alive, and I kept telling everybody else to have hope, because if my dad was alive, he wouldn't stop looking until he found me. That earthly story is just a reminder of the love that God has for us. No matter what, he will never stop. We are not alone. We're not alone when it comes to the responsibilities God gives us. He walks through every opportunity, every challenge with us. He will be responsible. He will be faithful. And it comes back to us. What will our response be? What will our faithfulness be? God is always faithful to us. Sound advice for every son and every daughter is to opt in to God's responsibilities that he gives to us. Life is not about escaping responsibilities. It is about embracing them. Would you join me in prayer as we wind down this morning? Father, we are reminded that you are at work in the world, that you are at work in history. That means that you are at work in our life. There is no question about whether you will be faithful. The reminder is that we need to work at it every day, and we will not have a perfect record. There are times that we will not be faithful and not fulfill the opportunities that you give us. But in your love, in your grace, and in your mercy, you give us the opportunity to own our mistakes, to come back to you and find healing and help and forgiveness. Lord, so much application in the life of Joseph, and your spirit is speaking to each one of us in a unique way. You give us areas that we can be encouraged in, areas that we have seen growth. You also give us your truth and these examples to challenge us and motivate us in areas as well to grow, to deal with stuff, to find hope and healing at the feet of Jesus. Lord, as we move into a new week, we want to honor those, including and beginning with our mothers who have given us life. We want to honor the God of all life, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the life that we live. As we have this moment to reflect, the question is, are we ready to step into eternity? Do we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Do we admit that God is holy and that we're not, and that we need what Jesus did at the cross as the payment for our sin? Then are we living our life in light of God's love for us as an act of worship? Lord, you'll give us tons of opportunities in the days ahead. May we buy into those opportunities. May we be faithful in them. And in those cloudy moments, may we choose to trust you and continue on in obedience, knowing that ultimately you're in control. Lord, thank you for your working in our life today. in our working, in our life, in the days ahead. May we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you.